Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, podcasting from the megacity metropolis of Toronto. I am your host. We are back. It is official. Television season has started. So officially, season three of the Cave of Solitude podcast is back at you. And in the cave, finally, after a long hiatus, our star of the show, stand and state your name. Let the people know who you are.
Nobody has these types of locks on their doors anymore. They don't exist. They're automatic doors. This is not useful to today.
Anticlimactic. Everybody's waiting for you to introduce.
It's Lady J.
Well, are you on Instagram? Are you Facebooking? Or are you podcasting right now?
No, I'm on Instagram.
Okay, so shut off the Instagram. It's over. It's podcast time.
Because it's one of those do-it-yourself type things.
It's the season premiere, Daff J.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude. This is Lady J.
I've already done this part already. Really? Yeah. Where have you been? You were right in front of me. I was shouting in your face.
I'm here.
I have to play theme music for you?
Perhaps.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But did you see that, though?
I'll look at it after.
Oh, well.
Welcome back to the show, for real, though.
Yes.
It's been quite some time.
It's been a minute.
You know when I think the last episode you appeared? Was the Suicide Squad movie review, August. It's a couple months now.
Really?
Yeah, I went to Fan Expo. I've been to Cyber City Comics without you. There's been like 5-6 episodes with no Lady J.
When you say August, that sounds like a long time.
Yeah, it was the beginning of August 5th or 6th. Yeah, that was the last time your dulcet tones were recorded for the show.
Wow.
What have you been up to? I know, like I always do, but what's new and exciting in your world? What have you been consuming, watching, reading,
enjoying? I read something. I did. No, because so much has happened.
Yes, you've read a lot.
I read this comic book.
Okay.
Batman was in it. Surprise, surprise.
Do you know who wrote it? Testing.
Greg Rucka.
No.
It's not a
name that you're as familiar with.
But I like his writing.
You like it because he's a
Why do you test me? That puts me on the spot.
Because I want you to inform the people what you read.
Okay, then give me a minute to find it. Hold on, give me a minute to find it.
Just going to the bookshelf.
Where is it?
Going into the depths of the cave. It's at the top. Top of the shelf. You see it? Can you reach? You tall
it
enough?
It says Rucka. Oh, no. That's Death of the Maidens. Hold on. I got it. Yes.
All right. She's back.
Ask me the question again.
Okay, so what was it that you read, Daff J?
I read a comic book.
Yeah, and obviously...
Batman, surprise, surprise.
Okay.
Okay, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And then...
And then who is the writer or artist?
Dwayne McDuffie.
Yes. And do you remember why I had told you I thought you would like this book in particular? Because of it being written by Dwayne McDuffie?
Because he wrote some of the episodes in the Justice League cartoon.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, okay, ask me another one. I can do this.
I think he may have even wrote the screenplay or adapted the story for Justice League Doom. The cartoon where Batman knows all the weaknesses of how to take down the Justice League. You remember that one?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think he adapted that book or the comic to the movie.
Uh-huh.
So I thought you would like this because it was written by a writer whose stuff you had liked, but you didn't necessarily know who it was. So you liked the book?
Yeah, it was good. Really good.
I had never read it. So I usually can have an informed opinion of the books that you come back and say, I read this and I liked it, but this is all you.
Mm-hmm.
Death and the Maidens, I think. I haven't even finished Death and the Maidens. And you finished that one. You finished... I have to admit something. I've never read the Grant Morrison Arkham Asylum book that is, like, heralded and put in the classic column of Batman stories. But your Batman pedigree is slowly surpassing me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
You feel good about that?
Yeah.
So this is a recommend. What was it about?
So it was... It was a two-parter kind of thing. It was actually... I'm going to read the back.
Go for it.
So it looks... So it's... I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
It says...
Do it in a good voice. Like a thrilling like movie trailer.
Something that makes you want to pick it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
In a world.
Me, 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 me. Ready?
Yeah, go for it.
A serial killer is loose in Gotham. He has no pattern, and he leaves no clues for the police or Batman to follow. The only certainty is that he will strike again. Lee Highland, however, has seen the killer's face, and he knows where to find him. There's only one problem. Highland is totally blind. As a con artist who calls himself Blink, he plies his trade by taking advantage of a singular gift, the ability to see through anyone's eyes just by touching them. Why are you laughing?
Oh.
Highland has not only seen through the killer's eyes, he has even saved one of his victims. When Batman figures out Blink's power, he calls on him to help take down the conspiracy that kept the killer free. A conspiracy that reaches into the highest ranks of Gotham society. But it's Highland who will need rescuing when he catches the attention of a shadowy government agency. And only the Dark Knight can help him.
Interesting. What's the book title?
Blink.
Blank. So it was good.
I liked it.
Is there
my favorite thing? I'll tell you what.
Okay. Tell me.
A nice seeing dog.
And he must have made it.
Oh, he totally made it. I have to say, when you gave it to me and I saw that there was a dog in it, I was like, nope, can't do it. I needed someone to kind of to skim it for me to make sure that the dog was going to make it. Because if not, I wouldn't have.
Someone to skim it for you. I had to skim it for you. That's the one thing
you didn't,
I know about
but you
the
don't
book.
Know anything about it.
I don't know anything about it, but I had to follow the artwork to make sure that at the end the dog is still intact.
Yeah.
That's that the only thing I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I get sensitive with those stuff.
I haven't been on a bit of a Batman tip for a while.
No, you've been all in Marvel.
Yeah. I look for Batman. I know eventually I'm going to. I don't know if it's like a seasonal thing. When it gets a little bit darker and colder outside, I'd get into the Batman. But I haven't been into the Batman universe as much lately this summer.
See, I feel like I spoiled it now.
No, you didn't spoil
because
it.
Because I didn't read the back of this book.
Mm-hmm.
When I started reading, I'm like, oh, here's a new thing.
It's Batman. You read it.
Yeah, I'm going to read it no matter what, yeah. As long as the dog makes it. But I didn't realize that he could see through people's eyes just by touching them. Like, that was I thought at first he was the villain.
Mm.
And for now, the commentary here to be that this is what his power is and that the Dark Knight goes to him for help. Like, for me, that's a little giveaway. Mm. I don't know.
I had read it already.
I feel like
already.
I may have spoiled it already.
No, I read it. I had an idea what it was about, and I said, I think Daphne's going to like this, so let me bring it for her. And I'm glad that you did.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it. Guys, you should read it. It's good.
Batman Blink from Dwayne McDuffie. He passed away a couple years ago. It was pretty sad because he was still a very young man, like in his 40s or 50s.
Really?
Yeah. But apparently he was, from the some of the supplementary features on the DVD, he was an extremely intelligent man. I think he had like his PhD in I don't know if it was astrophysics or doing stuff with NASA. I don't quote me on that. It is on the special features. You can watch it. But he was a really, really smart guy who happened to really like comic books and loved writing them. So to know that he, you know, to find some of the stuff that he did. I read some of his Justice League stuff in the mid-2000s when they relaunched the Justice League. And I didn't realize that it was Dwayne McDuffie or who he was. So now to come across some of the stuff that he has done and knowing how much you like the Justice League episodes that he wrote, yeah. They were your favorite one. So I kept kind of like a scorecard.
Without even realizing.
Yeah, I kept a scorecard for you to be like, okay, she likes Dwayne McDuffie material. Kind of like Paul Dini, right? You like Paul Dini stuff, and he's more notable for writing Batman animated series, but he's got a lot of comic books out there too that are worthwhile, so... So you read that.
I read that.
You watched, we never talked about Stranger Things, which was an incredible show.
It really was, but I think that's a whole episode
you think
in
that's
itself.
A whole, I'd have to rewatch it.
It's good.
To comment properly on it.
It was excellent.
I'll go on a limb and say it was my favorite television show of the last year. I might have to save what I want to say about it for like a year-end episode. Maybe I'll keep it for that.
Yeah.
It was good stuff.
It really was.
If you haven't seen Stranger Things, give it a shot. You will, if you're into sci-fi, if you're into the 80s, if you're into geek culture.
If you like Super 8.
If you like Super 8,
good
call.
You're
going to
like this one.
You'll like it, I think, even better.
Yeah. Well, it was very good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Highest recommendation for that. We saw Luke Cage. Mm-hmm. I know the boys at Cyber City Comics want to get into in depth about talking about Luke Cage. Did you like it?
I feel like I did.
You feel like you did?
Yeah.
But you're not sure?
I just feel some parts were just a little bit too much for me to stomach sometimes.
Okay, yeah. That's kind of typical with the Netflix Marvel stuff, though.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
I feel like I like the first part of Luke Cage versus the second part.
Okay.
I'm going to spoil some stuff. So, I guess the main villain initially is Cottonmouth. And I felt like there was a legitimate beef because that is, you're messing with my business. Mm. Now you're messing with my money. That's a personal thing. Mm-hmm. The second part it all obviously was a continuation in itself, but I found that in the second part, the villain, Diamond Black, he just has daddy issues. Yeah. What did I say? Diamond Black?
He said Diamond Black.
Well.
It's okay.
I think that makes better sense. Okay, let me say it right. Yeah, I just think he has diamond issues. daddy issues. Like, you're beefing because you weren't hugged as a child or you were jealous. Like, but I understand that psychologically issues, things can affect you as you grow older, but it's not like Luke Cage, from what we know so far, preferred to be or reveled in the spotlight of being the favorite. It just kind of like he was kind of put in that position and someone was just jealous about him.
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying. I don't think that...
I just think the story was weak for him to have such a vendetta against him.
Yeah, I think the series is really strong. I really liked it. Marvel has maintained its quality of product on Netflix. So I don't take it... I like the setting, I like Harlem, I like the hip-hop vibe that you get from it, the music in it is great, I like the cast of characters that are in Luke Cage's world, but you're right about the split in the seasons of it feels like there's six, and then there's another half. Mm-hmm. But the other half, with Diamondback, I felt, one, he was a little bit too over the top at times. Mm-hmm. In comparison to Cottonmouth, who I felt was a little bit more steady and more focused on what his character, like how he would, even when he acted in a way that was erratic, you knew it was coming because mm-hmm. it was consistent with his character. Whereas Diamondback was that very over the top villain at times. But getting back to what you said and that I agree with is that it seemed too convenient for them to be at odds at this stage in Luke Cage's life. Like, you knew that he had set up certain things that happened to Luke Cage to make him go, spoilers, to prison, and to make him be in that little fight club in the prison and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But now for Luke Cage to be in New York and to be hiding from whatever had happened to him in Jessica Jones and all that stuff, for Diamondback to still have, by happenstance, or is it on purpose, that Luke Cage is still in his life? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, it kind of mm-hmm. seems a little bit too convenient for the storytelling purposes for now them to be to have like a Cain and Abel situation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was good. It was a good story. And the animosity that they have is legitimate. I just felt it was too convenient for it to come to a head mm-hmm. the way it did.
Yeah,
I agree. That's the part for me. But I know the boys at Cyber City want to get in-depth talking about how much they loved Luke Cage, and I'll let them spoil the heck out of it. But tonight, you have one of your fabulous ideas, one of my favorite episodes to do with you, and some of the most fun that we have when we do these episodes, or these podcasts, are our top five episodes. We've done top five guilty pleasures, top five soundtracks to movies, the top five movies that do not need a remake, and now you want to do top five.
That should be remade.
Top five that should be remade. I like it. And this was hard.
It was very hard.
This is difficult. Why was it difficult for you?
Because I only came up with four.
I think I only came up with four, too. And I bet that me and you may have some of the same ones. Just because our frame of mind is so similar at times. You know why it was also
difficult? Because the ones that I thought that should be remade have been remade.
Yeah.
But they were remade badly.
Yeah.
And so I never knew about them or never heard about it. I never watched it.
It's true.
And I'm like, they missed the mark.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's true.
So I was like,
I was looking at the list and there was one like remake Godzilla. The one that they did in 97 just wasn't good. And they remade Godzilla recently and I haven't watched it.
They did? Oh, but like an Asian version.
Legit. Yeah, like it was
in Tokyo kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it was like last year, 2014, 2015, they made a Godzilla with Bryan Cranston.
Nothing really came of that.
I mean, it wasn't a huge hit. Like it came out. I know maybe some people liked it, some people didn't, but it wasn't like talk of the town.
Right.
I have more of a memory of the 97 version and how that was kind of the movie to go watch for a little bit.
Is that the one with Matthew Broderick?
Yeah, yeah. The one with the Puff Daddy soundtrack song. Yeah,
and the orchestra.
Yeah.
I used to play air violin when that song came on.
The Led Zeppelin sample?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was classic. Led Zeppelin song.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much Puff Daddy song. And then there were some, yeah, like exactly what you said. Like, ooh, I don't know if they remade this movie and it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need... Some movies got remade. Let's get into it. I don't want to debate on the exact same reasons why you found it hard, I found it hard. And sometimes you're like, no, you know what? That was so bad, don't remake it. Or that was good and it's time, don't touch it. Mm-hmm. So should it be in the category of movies that don't need to be remade or movies that should be remade? So I wonder if one of the picks that I had in the top five don't remake it might be on my list this time for a different reason.
Okay.
I gotta check the archives. All right. So movies that should be remade.
Yeah.
Ladies first.
Okay. This movie.
You want to shake my hand? You extended your hand to me. No, right now. Okay.
So this movie I never saw.
Okay.
The original.
Okay.
I saw tidbits of it.
Okay.
Enough to know.
Okay.
Enough to know that it was just not good in its time for me, because I envisioned something completely different.
Okay.
Because what I grew up seeing. But I feel like perhaps if Hollywood has the patience and finances to do this correctly. I think a Super Mario Brother movie would be amazing. I think it needs to happen.
It's on my list.
Okay, great minds think alike.
Yeah, it's on my list. Who would you cast?
Who would I cast?
Yeah, that's part of the fun of thinking if this were to be done, how would you cast it in order for it to work? Because I thought the Super Mario Brothers movie, Bob Hoskins, was a good Super Mario.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the Roger Rabbit guy.
Yeah. I thought he, like...
He died.
Yeah, he died.
Oh, that's... Oh.
It can't be him. But I thought he was a good casting for it. But here's the thing. How do you adapt a video game like that, which is a lot of fun to play, and we get what the premise is as a video game, but how do you make that a movie that is good, or that you tell the story?
What do you mean? You do home services and to like a regular customer, and you have like this interest in her, and she like every time you come over to fix her pipes. No pun intended. Okay, this is a children's movie.
What kind of movie are you making right now? Is that how they upgrade Super Mario Brothers?
No, listen to me. No, yeah. That's why I said a no. puns.
Okay.
No puns. Okay. None of that. He's just, it's like a shy guy that doesn't really know how to express to whatever, and she doesn't really notice him kind of thing. But, like, he does, like, regular maintenance in the building. So she's, like, a tenant or whatever. And then something happens, and then she gets kidnapped, and he's like, that's the love of my life. I have to do something to get her. Like, there's a ransom thing, or it's, like, on the media, and, like, you know, and now he, like, straps on those boots, and he gets going kind of thing, like an alter reality type of, like, a something. And then it's like, oh my god, and then it's like, you're in the clouds, and then it's like, and then her nickname could be Peaches. And then Peaches. And then they come in, and then she comes to realize, like, oh my goodness, I'm in love. Right? And then
I gotta tell you, I wouldn't want to watch that movie. It sounds horrible.
What do you mean?
First, it sounds like a very inappropriate movie. Two brother plumbers going to a woman in the building to fix her pipes.
No, I'm just saying. Maybe.
And then they're okay, in the mister, clouds.
So how would you do it?
That's the thing. I don't know.
So
because the first one is almost what you're describing.
Shut your face.
Yeah.
Shut your face.
Yeah. It's almost what you're describing.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They were too.
Listen, I don't get paid the big bucks to come up with a good idea. So yeah. So these people, they need to put their heads together and bring my childhood something into fruition.
Should it be a
like a Ninja Turtles kind of thing?
I think in order for this movie to kind of work, you almost have to make it very purposely campy in a way. You got to make it silly.
But isn't that what killed the first one?
No, because the first one just wasn't good. I mean, it was campy, but it just wasn't good. Like, the thing that we loved about Super Mario as kids isn't so much that he was... The princess is he has to rescue a princess necessarily, right?
Because it was his stuff that he had to do.
You know, yeah. It was the secrets. It was the journey. It was finding, you know, a secret path, going underground, and using these little things to shoot fireballs. And
he can be like a James Bond with a cape. Listen, it can happen. People
you mean
just
Batman. Like... Batman James. That's what I mean. It's kind of tough to figure out how to make a property like that work without it becoming like, well, this is just so stupid. He's eating flowers and shooting fire. But it's true. It is a
you're
property.
You're just shooting down my dream.
No. I agree. I had it on my list. It is a movie that was bad enough in the 90s, but it was such a popular property. That everybody around the world knows who Super Mario is. When you think about it, right? Like, everybody grew up on Nintendo, Super Nintendo. And it incarnations of the character existed up until now. Like, kids
It's
who,
still my favorite video game.
And it's still a lot of people's favorite.
Followed by Sub-Zero. No, F-Zero.
I love when you kick it old school.
And Primal Rage. Tell me... Somebody, you know you played Primal Rage. It's on my emulator. I still play it. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like Street Fighter with dinosaurs. What?
They should make that movie.
And you got a gorilla that can go on his like on his hands and like he like farts at you and or like he can regurgitate stuff. It's a great video game. It was on NES.
Super NES.
Mm-hmm. Super NES, yeah.
Sounds. I played it. I remember you told me about this game. I played it with you. It's horrible. Because the Tyrannosaurus Rex has really short arms.
Yeah.
He has to use his...
Yeah, but he can, like, strike with his neck.
I wish we had a video. Because this podcast would get hits galore just to see you do the neck strike. The Tyrannosaurus Rex. But getting back to Super Mario Bros., I don't know how you'd make it work. But there has to be a way.
Why not? If you can make...
You know what? Just an idea, throwing it out there. Sorry to cut you off. It would have to be done in a way where, like the game, almost like an Indiana Jones National Treasure, where he has to get... he has a time limit to get to certain places. He's on the clock, and he has to get to certain places around the world. And
like Carmen Sandiego?
Not like Carmen Sandiego, but kind of like an Amazing Race type of situation.
Uh-huh.
Where him and Luigi are helping each other out, getting through this world that's been taken over by some sort of alien dinosaur race or whatever, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And as they have quests where they've got to collect either...
That's what I'm saying. If it was like, almost like, what's that movie you made me watch? Ender's Game.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of thing. Where there's obstacles, there's time... stuff.
Right.
There's... Go on.
But in this case, it would kind of be like, you know when you watch National Treasure and they're traveling the world collecting clues or finding, you know, trying to beat people to the clock before someone
right.
else gets there.
Right, right, right.
And they end up in Egypt. So there's like, you know, they had the desert level on
right.
Mario.
Right? Eric, oh my
right?
goodness, keep going. This sounds like it can happen. Oh my gosh, go.
Or they travel like to the North Pole and they need to get...
The snow world.
Like something, right? Where it's like all the stupid little tropes that were in the video game or suits that they wore in the video game with a touch of like, you know, Toad helping them along the way, popping up like, here's what you need to...
They can go to an enchanted forest and be like
something.
The forest level. Oh my... Eric,
yeah, yeah,
yes.
Something, right? And everywhere
yeah.
they go, all this alien technology has transformed around them.
So this
them
has
to
be like an Elseworld. It can't be on Earth. Like,
it can be on Earth, but it would have to be kind of like, you'd have to combine, and I know this is horrible, but like the way the Transformers took over parts of the city, or they've been like hidden here for years, right?
Right.
And technology now, when they come back to life, or when they make themselves emerge... The technology around people can now be affected. Your toaster oven can turn into a transformer, whatever it is. There'd have to be some sort of dormant alien technology, like the Koopa race or whatever, where you have, like, the ball and chain being thrown at you suddenly turns into a weapon. Or you got, like, your dog turns into... They have shells on them now.
Like, shut your face.
Like, all these things that... I don't know, taking the world around you and turning it into a Super Mario... world.
So good. I would watch that movie.
Something, right?
Yeah, so good. I think we need to write a letter.
You wanted to write letters for all kinds of ideas, and you never start.
But,
you just put your name on
no,
the top.
No, no.
Dear
See?
To whom it may concern. You don't know what studio.
No, I legitimately felt that McDonald's had to do a double Filet-O-Fish thing. And it happened! It happened for a time period.
It's still there.
And
still exists.
It's a bit much, and I thought I wanted it that way. Not so much, but still, when I came up with that idea, I'm like, why are we holding back a filet? You need to, like, stack it. And dreams do come true. And I think if we really do put this in on paper, it can happen. Guy!
I don't know.
Oh my goodness. I love it.
You
I
like
love it.
It.
This
like
whole
it?
Thing of showing up in Egypt and the sand level. Yes!
Underwater level?
Oh, Lord. That's so good.
Yeah, they end up in, like, Mariana's Trench or something. Like, so deep, like, where Atlantis is. I don't know.
Oh.
Okay. We're getting really excited for this movie that there's no plans of making it. Like, you really want to see this. You're so excited.
Oh, man.
All right. I'm going to go with a classic movie that, in a lot of ways, doesn't need to be retouched because it's so good. And it isn't like an action movie. It isn't superhero-esque video game. Nothing like that. It's a great movie. Perfect, I think. But I think it could be remade for a modern generation with diversity. I'm going to go with... And I could have mentioned this in our last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I say Breakfast Club. I think the Breakfast Club could be remade in a modern-day setting in a school that's maybe inner city or... in an area where you have not just a bunch of white kids. You've got kids from different backgrounds and different cultures and different, upbringings. And you don't necessarily have to make it cliche because
mm-hmm.
we live in a world today where kids have so many different stories and, you know, this a kid who maybe grew up in an urban area may not necessarily be what you think of anymore with shows like Blackish
mm-hmm.
or you know, the that other show, I think, about the Asian family, I think it's Fresh Off the Boat. Like, you can have such a diverse group of kids in a room and have that same type of dialogue in our world. And I think it's something that could be told and not necessarily be like, why would they remake that movie? I think it can be remade because we live in a world with cell phones and iPads and social media and bullying and all these different topics that can be addressed. Racism that wasn't really addressed in that original Breakfast Club because of a different time, right? I don't know. I think that could work. I think it could be interesting.
I feel like I want to watch this movie. At first, when you first said this, I was like, what? Because I think that's why it will either never be remade, or if it's remade, it better be good. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't be a failure because it is such a classic. It is such a cult classic?
Yeah.
Like, everything about it, the music, mm-hmm. Everything about
it. And that's the thing. It's not something that you could make and you don't have to name the characters the same thing or try to do the same, what's it called? Like, remake the same scenes that were in that movie. But you take that premise of kids, troubled kids trying to find themselves with the pressures of the world that are
around
them.
But I like the fact that you're saying to introduce diversity with different cultures and different scenarios. That would actually be very interesting. And applying it to our timeline, I think that would be very cool.
Yeah, I think that's something that should be done. It would work if with the right cast, with the right writers. It could be really funny, but it could also be very informative, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas for the old Breakfast Club, I love it, you love it, but maybe it doesn't resonate with every kid today. They'll watch it and be like, why is this movie so old?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, why is it no... Like, I get it, there weren't cell phones back then, but like, why are there no computers?
Right.
Maybe today it wouldn't be in the library. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been in school. Where do people go now? You know? So it's just like an idea, right? I feel like it's something that could be done.
Oh, you got me thinking. That could be pretty like heavy, though.
It could be really heavy. It could be really light. And like it could be that mix.
Yeah.
That real good mix. I don't know. So that was my pick. It popped in my head and I'm like, yeah. Yeah, that should be redone. It could be sacrilege, but it could be redone.
If it's done well. I think it could do very, very well.
Yeah, and you don't even have to take...
But you still need...
The right cast.
No, but you still need the main characters. You need the...
Yeah.
The criminal, you need the princess. You know, like, that's pivotal.
Right.
You just need, whoever can play that specific...
you're right. And I'm just thinking now in my... It popped into my head, Miss Marvel, the comic book. And I love this book because, one, it's so much fun, but it's taking a young girl, a young Muslim girl, who's from... Family's from Pakistan. Like, it's... It's not your direct commentary on things that people are necessarily scared of in the United States of America, but it's enough of diversity to make it an interesting subject matter. Like, how does this person adapt to this world with this background? But they're just like us. So imagine if you had like a Breakfast Club almost like Miss Marvel, where the popular girl or the Molly Ringwald was Muslim in today's world, you know, with the political climate we've got, or the kid who is a basketball player or a jock isn't your typical, you know, Emilio Estevez wrestler, bonehead jock that you expect. Not that Emilio Estevez was that, but do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's just, there's so many things where you can put these people in a room together and it becomes, not a melting pot, but like, it could be such a huge explosion if you wanted it to be, or it could be a very educational and informative thing of how to deal with each other and understand each other. I don't know. I think it should be done.
Your mind is brilliant.
Thank you. I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah, that would be really cool, actually. I like that.
I had a good idea for Super Mario. We have a lot in common, me and Super Mario. Your turn.
Another video game.
They didn't make Primal Rage video game, right? A movie.
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
No. But they should remake Street Fighter. Okay. Absolutely, 100%.
I'm going to go on record and saying that was one of those movies that shouldn't have been made.
What?
That was a couple weeks ago, me and Daf J were at home doing things around the house, cleaning up, weekend, clean up. And this movie was on the television. And you were...
in a trance.
You were pumped. You were like, we're in it. Like, yeah, I can watch the majority of this. I wish I watched it when it started. You took out all the dog grooming products. You were there for the long haul. The dog hadn't been that groomed in a long time. And I'm trying to do anything I can to not watch this. And you're calling me into the room like, watch this. Isn't it good? Isn't it cast so well? Look how good they cast Honda. Oh, look, that's so... And you knew everybody. I'm like, you're allowed to play this? Little girl playing Street Fighter back in the 90s? It was horrible.
Listen.
How did Jean-Claude Van Damme play an American soldier?
Okay. Can I speak now?
Yeah. I took your thunder. Go ahead.
I think with the advanced technology,
yeah,
they can make this work if they polish up the script. Okay, yeah, the dialogue wasn't the best. Okay, and there was a lot of one-liners that it was like, come on. But I really think in my heart of hearts, I really believe that movie, the casting was pristine. So good. It was excellent. This is just my opinion, and I know it doesn't matter from my, and I don't care. All y'all can say what you want. Honda was a great casting. Ryu was good. I think it was great. All of them was good. Even the chicken, what's it called? She's I don't know her real name, but she's in Agents of Marvel.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I always rename things. But, I think the casting was excellent. And I think if there was anyone that could play General Bison today, I haven't gone through the list of who can play who today, but I think Arnold Schwarzenegger. Would be a great
guy's face barely moves anymore.
Yeah, but when he says the op store, that sounds like I can envision it. You know what I mean?
What about David Batista? He'd make a better Bison.
Sure, fine. I
because he could actually move. He could wrestle.
I genuinely do like the way he says the op store. So I vote for him. But
Governor of California.
I really think it would be doable. I think it would be fun. I think it would be... And the Super Mario and the Street Fighter, I think it would be, such an homage to, how we were back in the day. The
gestures right now. You're really feeling this idea.
It could be such a commentary on what we grew up with, who we were as kids. You know what I mean?
I don't know if it'll work, Daft J.
Why? Why are you so picky tonight?
Not picky. I'm not. I saw.
Why? Arnold won't work or the whole idea won't work?
I just think it's one of those movies that should be left unremembered. You know what? I want to say something right now because you brought up. You bring up an interesting defense of Street Fighter, and I really appreciate it to see how much, as it's because it's a childhood movie, it resonates with you. But. You bother me and criticize me so much for watching The Flash and enjoying Supergirl, which was great, by the way. If anyone's seen the season premiere, Superman is in it, and this Superman is much better than the Superman on the movie screen, for the record. But you hate on those shows because it's act acting is horrible. That's what you say. Well, how do you say it? Cool. Go tell me. Why did you like The Flash, Daphne J? What's wrong with it?
Can you just continue?
You hate those shows because the acting's the worst in your book. Street Fighter wasn't even acting. That was like cosplay at Fan Expo. I've seen better acting there. It was horrendous. We want to talk about other acting? I'm gonna send a shout out if he's listening to Martin Slam Duncan, because you and him are both fans of Critters. And that's some horrible crap.
No, for acting. The man knows art.
No.
Yes.
No.
Sam Duncan.
Horrible Martin.
You gotta edit that.
No, you're gonna leave it there. He's your biggest fan.
No,
I'm not editing nothing.
Man, but you have to.
I'm not editing.
No,
that's
please.
Perfect.
He's the only one that likes me, I think.
I like you.
He's rooting for me.
He has the same taste as you, okay. Which is questionable now.
Okay. He knows what he's talking about.
Well, if you can watch Street Fighter and you like it enough that it should be remade, you should be watching The Flash with me. Because it's much better. And the effects are better. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. No, your argument about Street Fighter is not...
How would you make Street Fighter work in a modern day? Did you think that the way they told those story, like that movie, was a good idea to approach it?
Worst thing in that movie was Blanca.
The worst thing in that movie was the story and the blocks that they set up when someone jumped through a wall. It was just like, what is it, made out of cardboard?
Here's... Okay, look, that's why I'm saying.
Okay.
Back then, they were limited.
Okay.
With today's technology and computer hoopla, they can really make it fancy.
I think, yeah, you're right. The effects...
would make a big difference.
It would make a huge difference, for sure. For sure.
And I think there's a lot of variations of, like, body types and, like, different characters or people that can play this variation, this cast. Like, it's...
You know what that movie should be if they do remake it?
Please, enlighten us again. No. You judge, you criticize, but then you paint this
the movie that you want to watch.
go for it.
Just thinking of what the game was, right? Keeping the premise simple of what people would like about it. And why I think the original movie didn't work was that they tried to make a story out of it. Like, in the sense of, here's your main villain. You got Ryu, Ken, and all these people who, they're all in it. But what Street Fighter should be, it should be a tournament. It should be a fight tournament. And kind of like the way Jean-Claude Van Damme Bloodsport was back in the 80s. Where... You know, there is some sort of corruption or maybe some sort of gambling corruption that they have there where they need someone to take a loss, and I don't know what it could be. But in order to highlight what the game was, which was like fighting, you'd have to make this some sort of a fight club type of movie or a tournament, a martial arts tournament movie where different styles of martial arts would be the highlight and the choreography, the fight choreography would be the art part of it, I think, in order for this movie to kind of work, instead of it being like an adventure, ridiculous costume.
What are you talking about? The costumes were it. That's how you, if you didn't know the names of the characters, you at least knew what they look like.
Yeah,
the costumes
look,
are pivotal.
Pivotal.
Yeah, I'm bringing up the dictionary tonight.
Define pivotal. Gestures are not used to define. Well, does that make sense though? Like for a movie like Street Fighter, for it to be a tournament of survival of some capacity, I don't know.
Yeah, I see your point. It's kind of like a Luke Cage underground, kind of like survival of the fittest type of thing.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think that would. Yes. Hollywood, make it happen. Arnold.
Again? and if you are interested in things that Arnold's involved with now, where can we find a Daph J?
At the op store.
So far you want video games to be made into movies.
So far!
So far. You're so excited about it.
I'm a big kid.
Okay. What do I got next here? All right. This is a movie that's been... It's very recent. They made three of these.
Maybe they should give up. Three strikes are out.
Okay, you're right. And it is at the point now where it's
I just sounded like Bill Clinton. No, I saw this documentary. It's called The 13th mm-hmm. on Netflix.
It was very good.
Because you know me. Everybody knows me.
Everybody.
On like...
Civil rights.
Civil rights, the history, you know, Black Power. Like,
we're not Black Panthers here, in case you're wondering.
That's a good... Anyway, Plud, that's a good... That's an amazing documentary, and people need to watch that.
Okay.
Yeah.
On a tangent.
Yeah.
Getting back to...
Back to...
Okay.
Back to the fantasy.
Back to things that aren't important. I hadn't watched the recent incarnation of this movie, and it was so bad that people who are into comic books were like, don't waste your money on it. Fantastic Four. It's one of those things at this point in time that has gotten such a bad rep, and they seem to not be able to get it. And it's not Marvel Studios who's making it, right? It's Fox still that's making it.
So that's why it's so bad.
Right. So I'm thinking it needs to be given back to Marvel Studios, and it needs to be made properly in the same fashion that they're going to be doing Spider-Man again, right? Spider-Man's had about 5 movies now. Yeah.
True.
5, right? Yeah. Fantastic Four's got 3. The first two were at the early stages of superhero movies.
So they kind of get a pass?
I kind of give them a pass because, you know, it was still... They tried. They made an effort. And what Marvel Studios and, in some ways, what the Batman Nolan trilogy, how it elevated what these stories and movies could be,
mm-hmm.
I really think that if we could go back in time and Marvel had the rights to these characters from the beginning, the Marvel Universe should be built out of the Fantastic Four the way the comic books were.
Right.
The Fantastic Four was Marvel's answer to the Justice League, a team, but it was a family dynamic, and it was almost like, were they monsters? Were they heroes? Were they... There's a family dynamic, so there's that tension.
There's drama.
There's juice. Yeah, there's so many ways that you can tell these stories, rich stories, with high adventure. And I just don't feel like when they tried with this most recent incarnation, they wanted to make it, you know, with the diverse cast.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a problem with Johnny Storm being African American. That doesn't bother me. But him and Sue need to be brother and sister.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you gotta make them family. Biological family. You wanna change things around, I get it, but
Weren't they supposedly siblings in this new one?
They were adopted, though.
Oh, okay.
Sue Storm was adopted. So there's just certain hallmarks of things that have a rich history, whether it's in publication or in some form of storytelling, that you gotta stick true to those things.
Well, that's what makes the story right. What it is, yeah.
Yeah, and I really think that Fantastic Four, I've only really started to delve into the comic books, and it could easily be the best product out there for a superhero movie. For the characters that...
Well, I think it's doable.
Definitely doable. Yeah. You can't make Galactus a cloud. You know, like they did in the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
They made Silver Surfer look cool, but they made Galactus a cloud. It's ridiculous. And Doctor Doom is kind of a template for what they used to kind of make Darth Vader. He's that good of a villain, Doctor Doom, when done correctly. Because he's a monarch. He's a leader of a country. He's not just some businessman who was on this spaceship with them that got into an accident.
Right.
There's more to him than that. So... I cast it for this particular episode. How would you make this work at this point to make it believable?
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so I think the hardest one to cast would be Mr. Fantastic, Reed Richards. Because you can't make him a kid. he's got to be the older one of the group. He's got to have the salt and pepper hair. He's got to be that guy with a lot of wisdom and extreme intelligence, but almost be connected, disconnected.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
I'm going to say Mark Sloan.
Do you know his real name? You people who don't watch Grey's Anatomy.
Something Dane.
Eric Dane?
Yeah.
That's a good pick. I just don't know if I could see him be stretchy. Because the whole thing of Mr. Fantastic, he's also got
to
look like
so he needs to be lanky?
Kind of lanky, yeah. Kind of like, can I see this guy having a ridiculous looking power that will look silly on screen? I can't see him looking that way. But that's a good pick, though. I like it. Maybe Patrick Dempsey could work. Maybe.
Hmm.
But I picked, if this was a few years ago, I think Tom Hanks.
Really?
Tom Hanks
has I feel like he's too Oscar.
That's why. He could be Forrest Gump. He could be Captain Phillips. Hmm. He could be Philadelphia. And he could be Big.
Hmm.
And there isn't really something I can't see Tom Hanks doing. And he can come off extremely intelligent. He could be extremely connected, but also very like, don't bother me right now. I'm studying. I can't do this for
That's
you.
That's interesting.
I would pick him.
Wow.
If this was a few years ago. In this day and age, I'm going to go with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I think he's got range. I think he's got range. Inception, being kind of like a little bit of a mastermind type of character. I think he's got some range to him.
Wow.
He was in, 500 Days of Summer. He's a good actor.
He was in The Dark Knight.
I feel like he could pull it off. And I could see him stretchy. Right?
Yeah.
And he's at the right age. Mid-30s. He can look young. He could look a little older if you need him. If he has a little bit of the salt and pepper, it would work.
I don't know if I'm biased because I like you, that I like your ideas, or I'm actually buying this. I think I could see it. I think that's good.
And Sue Storm, who would you pick?
I don't know, Katniss.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
I was thinking that. I think that's a good pick.
Really?
I do. I think that's a good pick.
Thank you.
I just think
she's too Mockingjay?
She's too associated with X-Men and all those other things.
But it's Marvel.
It is.
Oh, but
she's Mystique.
I understand.
Right?
Yeah, hear you.
So I was trying to, I thought that, and I'm like, that's just a little too obvious on the nose.
And she was blonde, so that's the first thing I went with.
I think it's a great pick. I do. I had that thought. I was thinking, who could pull it off? Again, who would look like they could be with a Joseph Gordon-Levitt? And they could look like they would work as a couple age-wise, look-wise, action-wise.
Pick me. The girl from Transformers.
Megan Fox.
No. The blonde one.
Oh, from Part 3.
Who was in Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah, that's a good pick.
Right?
That's a good pick. I forget her name. I like that.
She good has pick. This Australian accent.
Hit me. That's a good one. I really like that. Might be better than the one I picked. I went with Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt.
I think Emily Blunt has, again, she could be funny. She showed the action chops in Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, yeah.
And she was in Looper with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
She was in Looper.
She didn't have the English. She didn't have like the English accent at all.
She was in The Adjustment Bureau.
That's right.
I know things too.
I know you do. I think she could pull it off.
Hmm.
I think she could. Her and Joseph Gordon-Levitt could look like.
Could look like an item.
They look like an item, and they have enough to be funny, but also to make the stakes look serious. So for her brother, Johnny Storm, I picked Sam Claflin.
Nope.
You know who he is.
I do.
He was Finnick in the Hunger Games.
Ah.
I think he's Johnny Storm.
Especially if the Australian girl plays Sue Storm.
They'd have to be Australian brother and sister?
No.
They would work.
But they would work. Excessive blonde and the blue eyes kind of thing. Like, they would look like siblings.
Yeah. I thought his look, especially with the first time you see him in Catching Fire,
mm-hmm.
where he has, like, that kind of attitude, that swag about him.
Yeah.
I feel like he could be... pull off the Johnny Storm really well.
I think you're in the wrong business, buddy. You need to be in Hollywood. This is great. You need to be like one of those pitchers. Like those pitching ideas. Yeah. How do we get into this? Who do we call? Can someone send us an email? Who do we talk to?
I don't know.
That would be great.
I think
like I said, I'm either biased or I think your mind is a beautiful thing.
Both. You're both. My mind is a beautiful thing and you're biased. And for the thing...
would you make it a person or would you just let it be a computer?
No, it'd have to be a person. It'd have to be a person first.
You have to see them transform into this thing.
Yes.
Pun intended. That was intended. Not that plumbing situation. This is a family show, kids. Come on.
So I'm trying to think of somebody who doesn't, like, I thought the guy who played the thing in the original Fantastic Four movies, I can't remember his name, the bald gentleman. I thought he was good. For, like, from going from one to the next, and the voice.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of somebody who has that, because the thing is, he's a Jewish guy from Yancey Street in New York.
Huh.
Right? So there's certain elements about him that have to be able to be New Yorkish, or, like, you know, from a specific block, and be proud of it. He's got to have...
ooh, me.
Wait. And he's got to be able to... he has an Aunt Petunia that he always refers to, right? So who could, like, pull off the humor, but the tough guy?
Me.
Tell me.
Ray Romano's brother. What?
You're so funny. You're so funny.
I think
funny.
He has the voice. He doesn't voice. Necessarily have to be hefty to portray this, because it mutates him completely.
Right.
And I can hear him saying Petunia. and you know, it coming out right. Yeah?
It could work.
Do I get a point?
You get a point for definitely the voice. He's got the voice of the thing.
Right?
For sure.
I think
for
so.
For sure. I went with Mark Wahlberg.
What?
Yeah. He looks like he can play...
football.
Okay, exactly, right? An athlete. He's got the athletic, fit body. He's got the action chops in him. He's also a good character actor, right? And as well, like, remember, he was in The Fighter, right?
Yeah.
Right?
So he's with Batman.
So he's got that, so he can get into a gritty sort of emotional place, but he also was from Boston, which isn't New York, but he can put on the accent and still play somebody who's not an idiot. Right? Because Ben Grimm is a pilot. I could see Mark Wahlberg being that pilot. And friends with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like, age-wise.
Right. Same bracket.
So that if he did get transformed into this big rock thing, I can see Mark Wahlberg being a big rock-like thing. Vin Diesel's a little too obvious.
Right.
But I feel like Mark Wahlberg could at least act in that role and make you have... some emotional connection to the pain that the thing would go through. So that would be my pick to cast a good Fantastic Four movie with a cast that is recognizable but isn't overly exposed as far as, well, Mark Wahlberg is, but I don't know. That would be my pick. I didn't have a Doctor Doom. It was hard, though.
I didn't have anything for any of my picks. Had I known we were going to do that, I would have paid a little more attention to detail.
No, this was the only one I did. Because I said, if I'm going to pitch this idea, how would I make it work?
Right.
And make it believable. Because
it's already been pitched three times already.
It's been done, and it's like, oh, nobody wants to, you know.
Yeah.
Why would you remake it at this point? Just let it die. Because they're not even making Fantastic Four comics.
Really?
Yeah.
Took a hit?
Yeah. They're not. And that's what Marvel was built off of, Fantastic Four. So it's kind of sad that it doesn't, you know...
it's taking a tumble.
Yeah. Mm. They'll come back, but, you know, right now there's no Fantastic Four being published, which is kind of sad. Your pick.
In the world of comics, since we're there...
breaking away from the video games.
You're probably like...
thank goodness.
Finally. I think we should give Green Lantern a chance.
High five. I got that one too.
Do you?
I do. We need, that definitely needs a remake.
That needs to come back with a vengeance.
With a vengeance. Yeah, and why? Okay, why was that one of your picks?
Because it was terrible. Also, too, mostly because I think, and we've had this conversation before, now that Guardians of the Galaxy has come out, there's absolutely no reason why we can't do a Green Lantern out in the universe getting trained or whatever. Properly, like properly. Just like the Green Lantern, what's that? That I think they should make that into
a First Flight.
First Flight. I think that was a great, because it gave you a history of the Lanterns and how it kind of happened, and then his kind of introduction to it.
It was paced well too. It like really, it,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they can do it, if they can do it on cartoon, they like. Anyway, I think it's. I think enough time has gone by where we've gotten over the gripe. Like, really? Like, let's start again. Let's just do it over.
Yeah.
And we'll be fine.
Yeah. My simple pitch for that: Intergalactic Training Day.
Yeah.
The movie Training Day.
Yeah.
In space. That's what it is.
Hmm.
The first movie. That's how you make it work. He's got to be by Sinestro's side for the majority of that movie.
Mm.
And having that crisis of conscience, like, okay, this guy's really good at what he does, but
I'm telling you, you're in the wrong business.
It's written, though. It's already written.
Yeah, I understand, but, like, you're taking a concept that we can all, not even non-comic book people can be like, oh, I know what Training Day, I know what that is. Oh, that relationship, is that what, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have a way of painting it where a lay person can understand.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank
you. I shake your hand, sir.
Thank you.
Well done.
If only you were an executive at a studio. Well, it's one of those things that comic book fans get frustrated with, even when we watch, like, other movies that are being made or have been made recently, and you're like, why is it? Some people like it for the sake that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just happy that it's there.
It was made.
And it was made, and it looked good. And it's just like, do you realize that that's not a... This is going to become the definitive version of this character. Like, Green Lantern, for a good... Oh, man, I don't know how many years it was one of the best things coming out of a comic book shop. Like, the stories were so strong that they thought enough of the character to make a movie of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now, a person who's going to go into a comic book shop, they're going to look at a Green Lantern book and think of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when I refer to the other DC movies, I'm like, that's what people's perception is of these characters, what you're presenting the masses to watch. You're misinforming them. And the Green Lantern movie, although it was like, yeah, he's got the ring, he's got the lantern, it was just done so poorly that you never got to understand what makes the character so great.
Yeah.
And it really needs to be done justice. My pick for Green Lantern to be recast, since now Ryan Reynolds is one, I thought he could work, but it was not. He's too much on the humorous side a little bit. Yes,
Bradley definitely. Cooper.
He actually auditioned for it.
What?
You're right. He auditioned for the role.
The real one?
Yeah.
The one that.
Yeah. He didn't get it because he went in there and he did some type of Batman voice when he was in the Green Lantern suit. But he would have been perfect. Yeah. For Green Lantern.
That's the reason why he didn't get good for him for not getting that part.
Thankfully, right? But I thought he would have been perfect for it.
Yeah, yeah. I think so too.
I think,
because, well, it depends what Lantern they're doing, right? But you want that kind of, like, humorous type of, and I think Bradley Cooper has that sarcastic crass about him, but he can also take a serious situation and be, like, sacrificial. Like, he'll take a bullet.
He could act. Now that you mention him, he could actually play a really good Reed Richards. I think he could pull off a really good Reed Richards.
I think he's a well-rounded actor.
He's very well-rounded.
And I don't think he's underrated, but I think he's been bypassed a lot.
Yeah, for a while I looked at Bradley Cooper as that guy who's like the hangover, you know, that comedy type of actor. But when you saw him in, you know, Silver Linings
Playbook, yeah.
Or I forget some of the other stuff. Even in the recent Joy,
mm-hmm.
like I didn't love that movie, but... He's a good...
There's this aura about him.
Yeah.
There's something.
Yeah. And you know what I really liked in Bradley Cooper that I was impressed with? And I know it wasn't him on the screen, but Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
I really liked his performance there.
I remember when we were watching it, I'm like, when is Bradley Cooper coming? You're like, he's been in the movie. I'm like, and you're like, he's the voice. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I love that role that he did. Because character acting, voice acting says a lot about a performance. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. Not just like, all you did was a voice.
Record, yeah.
Like, okay, Vin Diesel's I Am Groot. Like, okay. That's all he had to say. But he stole scenes. Rocket Raccoon stole scenes in that movie because of his delivery.
Yeah.
I gained a lot of respect for Bradley Cooper when I was like, is that him? Really? He's like, I totally wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah.
So, you pick Bradley Cooper, which I think is a great pick, but probably wouldn't happen like now. I don't think it would happen now. So.
Because he's a little too seasoned looking?
No, not even that. I don't know, he's in the Marvel Universe, I guess. I don't know if he'd be available to do DC. I wish. I think,
yeah, good point. Forgot about that.
I wish that we could get Chris Pine to play
Howard Captain Jordan. Kirk?
Yeah.
I think that will work.
But he's in the Wonder Woman movie as Steve Trevor. But I think he would make a great Green Lantern. I think he'd make a really good one. Hal Jordan, Green Lantern. Or Nathan Fillion.
Nope.
Nathan Fillion actually voiced Green Lantern for the animated features. So he's already played Green Lantern.
So I still don't know what he looks like.
He was in that movie or that show, Firefly, as well as Castle. Do you remember the actor from Castle?
No.
All right, here, let me pull it up for you on my device. So he's mostly known from Firefly, I think, as Nathan Fillion. What do you think?
Yeah, okay.
It works, right?
I know him.
And he's voiced Green Lantern already.
Yes, he has.
Yes. And he was also...
He even has the hair.
He's perfect. He'd be perfect.
But you don't think he looks a little too seasoned himself?
Today's day and age, I don't know.
They could do a little Botox.
Botox. Hey, come on. There's a picture of Sam Claflin that I'm showing. That's Johnny Storm right there.
Yeah.
That's Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
That's my tangent. But the other guy would be Matt Bomer.
Nope.
White Collar.
I've seen the show. Which one?
He's the one who they take out of prison. I think he could play...
Sure.
I think he could pull off a Hal
Jordan. How about Mike Ross?
No, I don't think so.
No? Because? His forehead's been looking a little too big.
Yeah. He's actually in Legends of Tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, he plays a superhero. Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Mike Ross.
Yeah.
We're talking suits.
Yeah. That's right. He's also in Legends of Tomorrow, yeah.
Doing what?
He's playing... I haven't seen it, but I saw pictures of it. You think he's playing Dr. Midnight? If I'm not mistaken.
I feel like you're making this up and probably confusing him with somebody else.
No, I'm 100%.
Really?
Really, yeah. Is this a fan-made thing? That's what I thought when I saw the picture. No, but he's in Legends of Tomorrow. I don't know if he's in it for the whole season or if it's just like an episode or two. But yeah, he's already playing a DC character, which is kind of interesting. So, we both agree Green Lantern needs to be done properly. Right. And I just hope that Zack Snyder doesn't have first dibs to make it in his... what's the word? Incarnation. Probably be better suited for DC television. They probably do a much better job.
Yeah.
Superman looked good, man. I'm telling you.
I'm very impressed. We'll just take your word for it.
Missing out. Okay, your turn. What are you at now?
A movie that I didn't realize they had already made.
Oh.
But I don't know if it did well in the box office.
Probably not.
RoboCop.
Oh, yeah. No.
It didn't do well?
Not really.
Because it just wasn't done well or because the story? Because I remember RoboCop as a kid, and I remember liking it a lot.
You shouldn't have watched it. That was not meant for kids.
I didn't realize what I was watching. I just thought it was like You know what it was? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a story.
Oh boy.
We rented movies. And then my father, like everybody's father.
Are you going to incriminate your dad right now?
Dubbed the movies.
Oh boy.
So I think, because let me tell you something. When I watched RoboCop, I'm like, I don't remember those scenes. This is not real. This is not. I think my father edited some things out so that we can watch it with our innocent eyes and enjoy it. I'm thinking.
I guess your dad didn't care too much about the cursing.
I don't know. I'm just taking a wild guess here because there are significant scenes where, like I said, I don't remember them as a child. Like, right, I don't remember them being there.
Yeah.
And then when I watch them now, I'm like, how did I watch this as a kid? Yeah. Unless I don't remember seeing them and feeling that it was too gruesome. But anyway.
Yeah, they made it.
I thought that would be a good one to make, but I think they failed at it already.
Yeah, it just didn't hit an audience, I don't think. That's the dangerous part of, like, talking about remaking movies or making a choice, even though this is just for fun. Is the first one that was made, does it have that audience that loves it enough that if they did try to redo it, it would just fall flat because the original one just, even though it's lacking in the tech, does it just hit the right mark? Like, when they try to redo Terminator, it just never hits.
Well, I don't think they're redoing Terminator. I think they just can't stop doing Terminator. There's a difference, right? Like,
but they're trying to make it for a new audience, like a new generation.
Yeah, but the story's just continuing from the original. I'm looking at starting from scratch and telling a story for this time.
Right, but can you do Terminator without Arnold? Do you know what I mean? To make it, would you love it? Would the people have that same connection to it? Because what we associate often is, like, we refer to Arnold as a Terminator a lot of times. You know? So can you remake that and make it work?
I don't know what to say.
That's the tough part, right?
Yeah.
So with something like RoboCop, yeah, it could definitely be.
But you, of course, yeah, I'm gonna probably take a hit for this, but I'm gonna say yes. Because at the end of the day, it's a machine. It can have live tissue of any form. Just like all the 2000, the bad guys always came back looking different. Why can't the good guy look different?
Mm-hmm.
Starting from, like, you know what I'm saying? And then let that be the new storytelling, the new generation type thing. Why not? There is a soft spot for Arnold and the thumb. We all know the thumb.
Oh, I'm going to have to pause this thing.
But
Go back to RoboCop. Go back to RoboCop.
But, I don't know. I think when things are done well and...
Yeah, anything could work anything if you do can, it well. Yeah. But it's the business that it's going to do, right? If people are going to be attracted to it, or are they going to be like, oh, why did they make that? That's dumb. I like the original. But I didn't see the RoboCop. That remake, you didn't even know it came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I wrote it down, and then I was like, I know they had made a Judge Dredd and like other movies, and so it came to me. I'm like, just look to see if it's even if it has been done, because there's a bunch of movies that did, and I didn't realize, and it was one of them, and I was like, damn it.
I know,
but.
Yeah, there are.
I thought that would be a good one because, again, it's just a different time, and like it would. I think it would be able to work.
It'd be interesting to see what they could do now.
Yeah.
But yeah, came and went. It's too bad, and it'd be too early to remake.
What if RoboCop was a female?
That'd be interesting,
right?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Because I thought it was interesting that back then when they made it, like the, it was the RoboCop was a guy, but there was a female leading role still because his partner was a woman.
Yeah.
But what if the roles were kind of reversed now?
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. Different, but like coming to a new age, a new perspective. Because everything is like, oh, let's do things like for the power of women or like, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why that wouldn't be an option.
That'd be a good idea. They'd have to find a fine line of how they would make the woman have to become a cyborg. That'd be the scary part. What they would make that woman go through.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be a very touchy, mm-hmm. if not handled well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sometimes people are very tasteless in that regard. Of what the woman went through in order for her to become transformed, right? So, but that would be a good idea, I think, to make it a woman. That's good.
I got ideas too, Hollywood. Hollywood.
If they're listening to us. Okay. I got two more left. I think they could remake. I was thinking of some classic. I use that word loosely. But sometimes, you know, you look back at your childhood movies that dealt with children casts. You know, stuff like Sandlot and Mighty Ducks or those sports-related movies.
Sandlot's a great movie.
Don't remake it. I would not, you know what, don't touch it, leave them alone. But I'm thinking, it'd be kind of cool to remake Major League. Today's world. I think that would be fun. Because it's an ensemble cast. You know what I mean? And you kind of know that the premise of it's good. You don't have to make it the same team. You don't have to make it the same team. But it'd be kind of cool to see a new cast of young, up-and-coming Hollywood or actors.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
In a new version. With a different team, different city. You know, explore. I don't know. But that would be cool. I think they could redo that.
Beyonce can be on the team. The way Madonna was.
That's League of Their Own.
Oh, what are we talking about here?
Major League. You are something else. League of Their Own was biographical. You can't remake that, you dorkus.
Oh, yeah.
Major League.
I know what Major League is. Yeah. Wesley Snipes was in that movie. That's in the second one.
First one.
Oh, Omar Epps was in the second one
playing the same character. Yeah, but it was.
Hey, at least the sport was the same. I think it was.
You're such a nerd.
Oh no!
That was good. That was fun.
I had nothing to drink.
Why would Beyonce be on the bot? That, I mean, she could. I guess they want. We could do that.
Well, don't they have a TV show or something where there's a chick playing...
She's on the Milwaukee Brewers.
Something like that? Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But... Anyway, you were saying?
Yes. They should do one. I think a new Major League. Maybe make it...
Yeah, I think that's good.
Well, now you like it.
That's what I was saying. That's why I was so quiet.
Why would you make a League of Their Own? No, Major League. That's why I said you get new up-and-coming... stars, young actors, put them in an ensemble cast. Baseball movies are always fun.
They really are.
I like them. You tell a good, you know, make it a good story, make it a good interactive cast. And, you know, at the end, you don't necessarily have to make them win or know if they do win, but that would be fun.
I think that would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that I know what we're talking about. Do you have, like, a star lineup? Did you think about this? Who would be the coach?
I didn't. The coach.
Because wasn't the coach kind of like a... I'm going to eat it. Get you! Right?
Yeah, he was.
So who would do that? Pick me.
Daphne J.
Okay, I think... physicality wouldn't be the same. However, because of, like, that hot-tempered, you know, that voice, I'm thinking he was in...
Yeah. James Jonah Jameson. Yeah. I forget his name. Why don't I forget his name?
Isn't it, like, a couple of letters?
Yeah, man.
He was in that drum movie. Yeah.
Yes. I was thinking that. That's who I picked.
Really?
That's who I picked. In my head.
That's what
you're
thinking?
Yes. J.K. Simmons.
That told you a couple of letters?
Yeah, that's who I would pick. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
he'd be
cool.
The coach.
Yeah. I'm back. I'm here.
I wouldn't want to make, you know, exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be Major League, but it would be, you know, maybe the Toronto Blue Jays instead of the Cleveland Indians. Or some other franchise that's like a struggling franchise in baseball today.
Mm-hmm.
Make it about them. That would be.
Mm.
But J.K. Simmons would be the coach.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'd go with. Or I'll just keep Tom Hanks since he did so good in the first Major League, right?
No, he can't blame me.
I can blame you. He said Major League. We can't Beyonce. And we'll make it the hip hop version. Beyonce, Nicki Minaj, Alicia Keys would be the back catcher.
No, because I thought Madonna was like the vocal person on the team, like not in the movie, but like she was like that star. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, we need like a musician.
You're something else.
Anyway.
You got another one yet?
And then the person that played Rosie O'Donnell.
Uh-huh. Melissa McCarthy.
Yes! How'd you know? How did you know?
I know you better than you know yourself.
Maybe that's on my list. A League of Their Own.
That's a biographical movie.
Okay. A movie that I've never seen. But I was excited, so excited to see it when I saw the trailer because I'm like, these... Fantastic. I love Sean Connery. I respect Morgan Freeman. And when I saw this, I forget who else was in it, but when I saw these people, I'm thinking, absolutely, I want to watch this movie. I didn't know that it was based on a comic book. I never saw it because I think it got really bad reviews. If I'm not confusing it with another movie. It's funny. League of Extraordinary Men.
Gentlemen. I don't think Morgan Freeman was in that.
Yes, I think he was, though.
I think so. We've seen parts of it.
No, we haven't.
We have.
And never have.
We have.
You're making this up.
I'm telling you, we've seen parts of it and we didn't like it because it was just really bad.
Oh, we have story seen, or
the
acting?
Movie. The movie wasn't... It got a really good... It was a very well-received comic book, but it was very adult in nature. And when they adapted it to the screen, it wasn't even recognizable.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was. It wasn't good at all.
Yeah.
It wasn't good at all.
Yeah, okay, Sean Connery was in it.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember Morgan Freeman being in it.
Maybe I'm confusing him with Red.
Yeah, probably. Are you sure you know which movies you want to get remade? Because I don't know, you haven't seen them to know that they're bad. You don't know who's in them.
Okay, whatever. I think that's one that should be remade.
Okay.
Short and sweet.
Hey, you know what? A lot of people think that should be remade.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Not just me.
Because I chose not to read the comic book because of some of the content in it I didn't care for. But it's written from the same guy who did V for Vendetta and The Watchmen. Who's, you know, Alan Moore is like held in the highest regard of comic book scribes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those classic books, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So when they made it into a movie, and it wasn't even close to what the book was like.
That's what I had heard, that it was far off the mark
and
from the comic book miniseries. Like it had nothing to do.
No.
But when I saw the trailer, from what I saw, I'm like, oh, this is exciting. I didn't know anything about the comic.
The movie starts off seeming like, hey, this could be really interesting, and then it took off somewhere left field. Yeah, not good. But yeah, you're not alone.
Especially now because the making of comic book movies it seems to be a thing.
Oh yeah.
Right now. I think they should rediscover that and do it right so I can actually watch it.
I don't know if you want to watch the...
Really?
Yeah, I don't think
Why?
You want to. It's adult.
What does that mean?
Like,
is there sex?
There's some pretty
graphic. Is that why it was so off the mark? Because they were trying to reach the general public?
I think maybe. I just don't think they Yeah, from the stuff that I flipping through the book, there were some things in there that were, yeah, it was very adult in nature.
Huh.
It would be more of an HBO series than a movie.
Really?
I think. Yeah, yeah. Which is not saying that it wouldn't be critically acclaimed or that if they did it right, but I don't know if you would care for it anyways. But
I like Sean Connery.
Yes, we all like Sean Connery. My last one here was a movie from the 80s. It is a bit of a... No, it's not a cult classic. It was a movie. It was a cartoon, toy line, made in the 80s. I remember watching it as a kid at the theater, and it needs to be remade today because it was just... It's a product of its time, and you can tell that, oh boy, they didn't have the budget to make this properly. It was Courtney Cox's debut in a movie. He-Man, Masters of the Universe. Do you remember that movie at all?
Absolutely not.
No. It had a pretty decent cast, but the production, the budget, the acting, it was like a poor man's Star Wars. Do you remember He-Man, the cartoon?
Yeah, I remember that bowl cut.
Yeah, that's
He-Man.
Right.
He-Man! And then he would stand like this.
Yeah, I have the power. Exactly, yeah.
Did so
they made a movie of that in the 80s.
Who did Arnold Schwarzenegger
portray? He played Conan.
Oh, that's what it was.
This was Dolph Lundgren, the guy from Rocky IV, the Russian, Ivan Drago. He also played He-Man.
No way.
And he had like 10 lines in the whole movie. It was pretty bad. But that's a movie today where I think it would definitely draw a huge crowd of people to go and watch it because it has such a following of people who were kids in the 80s that liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And the comic books are pretty good. They're back out today in DC Comics. So they've got a following that way. They've got the material to make it, you know, the source material to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the tech to do it.
Yeah.
You know, they got the CG. They've got, you'd be able to find the right actors who have the physique to play the character who could also speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Lundgren had the perfect body for it, but he couldn't do the dialogue justice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one that they're probably in talks, actually, to be remaking this movie. We'll probably see it.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So this is not one that I have to give my plot or synopsis for, because I think they're actually doing it. That's my final pick. Do you have any honorable mentions? Things that you thought to choose, but you didn't? I've got one.
Go for it.
Three Men and a Little Baby.
Really?
Yeah. I like the original one, but I think it could be remade for a modern audience. Again, you can get an African-American, you can get an Asian, you can get... You know, different people. Like, how cool would Three Men and a Baby be with Kevin Hart? And The Rock.
Yeah.
I would die. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Kevin Hart, The Rock, and Zach Galifianakis or something. Like, just an odd group of guys that would make you pee yourself.
That would be funny.
Taking care of a Chinese baby.
You know, it should be... Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
It should be the guy that was in... It should be Riley from National Treasure.
Okay.
And...
I love how you don't know any of the real names.
And... dude from...
Come on.
I'm trying to think of the name.
What was he from?
He's a New Girl.
Schmidt?
No, not Schmidt. Schmidt will actually be good, too.
Yeah, imagine New Girl, the cast of New Girl, Three Men and a Baby. Winston, Schmidt, and Nick.
I just love the way Nick screams. That's my favorite thing. And that's if a baby showed up at his door, he would probably scream.
Yeah,
that's
right?
What I'm envisioning.
Yeah.
But I think Kevin Hart would be a hit.
Yeah, I can watch him do anything.
My pick?
Yeah.
I remember watching this as a kid.
You actually watched this one?
I did.
Okay.
I watched this as a kid. And
If you say critters.
No, that's too good.
You don't touch that.
You just leave it.
Yeah, that's perfect.
That's on the mantle. Just leave it. It got me emotional as a kid.
Okay.
And as I got older, I had to forward through the parts. But I did watch it a lot. And I think they should remake this.
Have I ever watched it with you?
Have we watched it together? I don't know. We've known each other for a long time, maybe.
Okay, maybe.
I think they should make Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Okay.
Yeah. They just need to leave the ant and scorpion scene out of it.
Oh, that's why it. You can't watch
just,
it now.
Yeah, just leave him out of there.
And that's why you can't watch Ant-Man.
That's why I can't watch Ant-Man. No.
I got it.
Antony. No, I can't do it. But I think a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids kind of, because, you know, science and, like...
What? Say that again? Because, you know, science.
Because, like, you know, experimenting, things can go wrong, and, like, innocent bystanders, and it's like, oh my goodness, my kid's missing. Not really. Like, that kind of adventure, that backyard adventure, that is, again, makes me feel like a kid again, and it also introduces a new generation to see what it was that made us happy. Yeah.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Would you do it in the same premise of kids living in, like, the suburbs in the backyard, and they're just trapped in their backyard, or would you make them, like, trapped in the ghetto? That'd be scary. instead of seeing ants, they'd see roaches. It'd be a horror movie. You still want to watch it?
I would. as long as the roaches were bad guys.
And Tyler Perry would be the dad, the scientist.
Tyler Perry?
Yeah.
The one that makes all the bad movies?
All the Medea's movies, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'd still pick Kevin Hart. I want to watch him in everything. I want Kevin Hart in every movie. All right, Daph J, this has been a lot of fun, and we've gone to quite some lengthy detail talking about movies that should be remade. Top five, even though you only had four.
Well, I did the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
That's true. You did the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It was a blast to be back in the cave with my partner in crime, Daph J. I legitimately laughed, belly laughed, from the ridiculousness that you say, and the movies that you haven't watched, which you want to see remade. Or the movies you confuse with other ones. League of Their Own.
Or the names that I mistakenly mispronounce.
Or the names you don't know. Oh, yeah.
Martin.
Shout out to Martin.
Shout out to Martin.
I actually met him at Fan Expo this year.
You told me.
Yeah. How weird was that, though? Probably strange for him to have someone be like, hey, you're so-and-so, because I'd seen his picture or, like, on social media, like, you know each other. But that's the world we live in today.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That is cool.
Really nice guy.
Nice.
It was really fun to meet him. I might be seeing him at other events coming up. We'll see.
I'm excited for you.
So, yeah. So, shout out to Mr. Duncan.
So that was a wink in the gun. That was for you, Martin.
You know his name now?
That was for you. That's my friend.
Yeah, dude, yeah. With the same taste in movies. What are some of the things you want to do in season 3 of the podcast? Other than have fun and make people laugh. What are some of the topics or books or things that we could look forward to? Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, but you tell me first.
Ooh, you put me on the spot.
Yes.
You know what I want to do?
Tell me.
I want to read and discuss more Spider-Man books. That's what I want to do this season. Because I've read a lot of Spider-Man over the summertime. And it's a book that, it's a series that I know that you've never really gotten into, a character you've never really gotten into, just like small little snippets.
Mm-hmm.
And you've liked them, but I want to, well, that's a character that we haven't really, we've done a lot of Batman, we've done a lot of Superman. We haven't done that much Spider-Man.
We did a Spider-Man Blue series, right?
We did Spider-Man Blue. We did the colored series from Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Captain America White, which we can do now.
Really?
Yeah, they've released the Captain America White.
For a while now, right?
About a year. About a year, yeah.
I remember you telling me about it.
So I think you'd like that one, too. So we can get into that. I got all the comic book ideas in my head, but you come up with the more fun, off-the-cuff, you know, things that you don't have to take too seriously or break down and, like, you know, sometimes we read these comic books and like, man, what a downer. Is that having fun or are you enjoying it? So what do you have in mind?
I'm thinking, remember when I read the graphic novel series March?
Yes, we were supposed to cover that.
Yeah.
Now all three of them are out.
All three of them out. All three of them have been read and dissected.
And notes taken.
Notes have been taken.
I gotta catch up.
It is a more serious content
and we should discuss a wide range of topics, not just, you know.
But I think it's also it is a discussion that needs to be had.
Yes. Yes.
Especially in the world that we're living in today.
Absolutely.
Like, hands down, I think it is a quintessential part of history that needs to be acknowledged and discussed. And the fact that they're integrating this into the world of comics, I think, is brilliant.
Yeah.
Because it does reach the masses.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'd like to read those again and have a discussion on it, for sure. That's great.
Yeah, it was a great series. But I am, like, the top five queen of stuffs.
Yes.
So I think we could then lighten it up and, I don't know, what would you say if we did our top five favorite cartoon shows as a kid?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
I already have three. Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe we could do top five video games when we were kids.
Oh, you've already mentioned them all today. Primal Rage.
I said I liked it a lot. Okay. And I plugged it, but, you know, maybe I got some other ones up the sleeve.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think those will be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will you be up to reading some Spider-Man this year?
Reading.
So you want to read March? All this heavy civil rights, seeing people be mistreated and segregated, but we can't read Spider-Man. If you like that stuff, you love Spider-Man. He gets mistreated a lot.
But that's the thing. Like, I would do it.
Give it a shot.
I would do it.
Okay, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
And see how it goes.
Does he talk a lot though? Is there a lot of talking?
I'll pick one where he talks. He talks.
I don't mind. This is the thing, right? Like, I don't mind the talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when I go in and I see, like, a lot of stuff, it's overwhelming. When I get into the story and I know what's going on,
stop thinking about it.
I want the more talking, the better, because I'm getting a story. I'm getting everything literally painted for me.
Right.
And I get lost in that.
Right.
Initially, though, for someone who's a non-reader, it is a little bit hard, but I'll give it a shot. You know what I do want to get into, though?
Tell me.
I want to read more Daredevil.
Okay,
because I really do feel, and I think we've said this before, he is, like, the Batman in Marvel. Like I think, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think
it would be cool for me.
Yeah, of course. Anything with pointy ears.
Ridiculous. Yeah, I'm into it.
All right, well, we'll wrap it up. We've been doing this for record-breaking time for one of our episodes. We just can't stop talking and having fun. But thank you guys for listening. Send us your ideas of movies that should be remade. I like hearing from you guys, the listeners, and what your opinions are, because you probably are like-minded as we are and have even better ideas. So send us an email at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Leave us a review on iTunes. It always helps to get the word out and make the podcast more popular. As well, follow us on Facebook. Just look up Eric Anthony. You'll see the Cave of Solitude and some pictures that I post from my Instagram onto the Facebook. Follow us there. Leave a comment on our page. And we will be communicating with you guys if you do that. So thank you again for listening. Thank you, Daf J, for returning to the show. And to all your fans. And what's your number one fan?
Martin Duncan! And I didn't have to look at anything to know. I knew it. I just knew it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for more episodes coming from us in the Cave of Solitude. If you're looking for comic books to buy, go to Cyber City Comics. That's the home where I go shopping. The good guys are there. Get your comic books from Cyber City. Talk to you guys later.
The best of the wisdom of what we do, me and that cake is the kid of solitude.